Hey guys, welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. We are recording live after the first round of the NFL draft this evening. So much to discuss, and joining me to do that is the incredible, incomparable Steelers reporter for us at ESPN, Miss Brooke Pryor. Brooke, how are you?
I'm great. I wish that I had an eye descriptor to talk about how great I am. Invigorated. I am invigorated after the first round of the NFL draft. That's how I feel right now.
That's a interesting choice of words, because some teams, it feels like, are super invigorated. It feels like they got exactly what they wanted and they made obvious picks that make total sense. And then there are teams who made moves that maybe they wanted, but it doesn't really seem to make sense that anyone else would have wanted them to make those same decisions. Brooke, you were talking with me before we taped, and or before we were getting ready for today, and you were saying, you know, we were planning out our timing, and you said, I'll be ready unless the Steelers do something crazy, like draft Bo Nix at 20. And the Steelers did not draft Bo Nix 20 because Bo Nix was gone 8 picks before that.
I just, you know what's so crazy? Tonight was so insane with the quarterbacks that until you just said that, I forgot that Bo Nix got drafted. All of my brain power is focused on trying to comprehend the Michael Penix Jr. to Atlanta move that Sean Payton is just skating right on by drafting Bo Nix in the first round. So that should tell you just how insane the run on quarterbacks was tonight.
Oh, we have to touch on the Sean Payton comment about Bo Nix. We will get to that, but you're right. We need to talk about first the quarterbacks. Obviously, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, quarterbacks going 1 through 3, not even a story. We're past that. That's not even worth discussing in this day one recap. We have to start with Michael Penix at 8 to Atlanta in a pick that I did not expect. I don't believe you expected. I don't think many people expected. And one person, a very important person, who did not seem to expect this decision was, in fact, Kirk Cousins, who has not even played a game on the extension or the contract, which guarantees him $100 million over the next 2 years from the Atlanta Falcons. I will get you the quote from the Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins' agent. Only found out that the Falcons were going to pick Michael Penix while the team was on the clock. There is, quote unquote, frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first round pick to make the team better in 2024. There is indeed surprise about the Falcons' decision. Brooke, can you make this make sense for me? Is there a way to put this together where there's a logic behind what happened here?
Well, I don't, the logic is I'm still working on that. The first thing, as I was sitting there trying to digest this move, I thought if I strained my ears hard enough, I'd be able to hear Arthur Smith down the hall laughing. I think that was actually just from across the media room from another reporter. Yes. But in my mind, that would have been a great scene setter. I also think that Kirk Cousins got Mitch Trubisky'd is how I'm kind of putting it in context for what I saw happen in Pittsburgh. And was Mitch Trubisky guaranteed $100 million? No, it was like $15 million. But they signed Trubisky a couple years ago, and then just a month and a half later, they draft Kenny Pickett. And I saw firsthand how poorly that went. Now, of course, the situation is a little bit different here because Kirk Cousins was not a bridge quarterback, right? Kirk Cousins is a very, very good quarterback for all, you know, the grief we give him in primetime games and playoffs and all those things. Like he is not Mitch Trubisky. This is the guy who obviously the Atlanta Falcons gave him that much money to come in and get, you know, a fresh start to to get this franchise going in the right direction. It's a good move, I thought, for Kirk and for the franchise. We can go over all the pros and cons, but it feels like they said, you know what? As great as that was, what if we just said, oh, forget it. We love Michael Penix Jr. Let's do it again. I do understand about planning for the future, right? And drafting before you need that quarterback. You don't want to get caught in a situation where it's time to move on from the franchise quarterback and your quarterback room is decimated and you have nothing and the cupboards are bare. But you don't do that in this situation with that pick when you've just made that free agency signing. I understand if in the second or third round you draft a Sam Hartman or a Spencer Rattler or someone like that that is a clear developmental guy, but Penix Jr. is old as far as rookie quarterbacks go, and he has the injury concerns. Like, do you think if you take one guy coming off an Achilles and another guy coming off of a slew of every other injury and you combine them, then suddenly you have the perfect quarterback? Like, that's the only thing I can figure is that they
One of them
think
is
you,
right-handed, one of them is left-handed.
right? You just combine them all in one and like, oh, look at this. Now we have our quarterback of the present and the future. I understand trying to give that room depth and you say, hey, you know what? I think Kirk Cousins can be a good guy that's a mentor, but I absolutely understand where his camp is coming from in being frustrated that they're not supporting Kirk Cousins with, you know, either an offensive weapon, although he already has a really nice cast of threats, but to not help out the defense. I think what they had only 80 some sacks last year. Like the defense was terrible. And instead you go quarterback. It is mind-boggling. I don't know that I can come up with a coherent reason that I will believe or that I can make other people believe.
It's really strange. And you brought up like an important factor here, which is Michael Penix's age. He's going to turn 24 in a couple weeks, which is old for a player in any position, let alone a quarterback prospect. Penix was in college for a while. He transferred. He has a bunch of injuries in his past, like you mentioned. So not a sort of, I guess the counterpoint with someone like Trey Lance, where even though the Niners traded, this didn't work out, obviously, but in their head, when the Niners drafted Trey Lance, it was okay, he can sit for a year because he is so young that, even if he takes a year or two to develop, by the time he gets in the starting lineup, he's going to be basically as old as most, draftees. Michael Penix, unless something crazy happens with Kirk Cousins, which the salary cap would seem to preclude happening over the next couple of years, Michael Penix will be 26 years old before he becomes the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. And that's in the best case scenario, let alone if Kirk plays into a third season in Atlanta. And people have brought up the Packers, sort of wanting to get Aaron Rodgers before they draft, they got rid of Brett Favre, or drafting Jordan Love before they wanted to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. And I can see the logic in that if there's a guy you love, but that was a pick in like the bottom quarter of the first round. That was in the late 20s, both those years. I think Rodgers was like 24 and Jordan Love was maybe 29 or so. This was the eighth pick. This was the eighth overall selection in the draft. This is a top 10 pick. That is when you are getting a guy you expect to be, or you're hoping at least to be, a Pro Bowl caliber player. You're expecting your baseline is a starter, a day one starter for your team on a defense that, as you mentioned, didn't do a great job of getting after the quarterback last year. Then on top of that, their top two pass rushers, Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell, both still free agents. Just a weird selection. And if you fell in love with Michael Penix, I guess my question is, when did it happen? Because the Falcons signed Kirk in the middle of March. It's after the combine, it's after the college season. If you really loved Michael Penix, why did you give Kirk Cousins $100 million?
This is like we go through a whole season of The Bachelor and he gets engaged at the end, and then we go
Yes.
to after the final rose, and he breaks off the engagement and starts dating somebody that only made it to like the top five. And I was
Yes.
like, "What? When did that happen?" You're exactly right. Like it, this is a shotgun wedding, is what this is. This is a best case scenario shotgun wedding.
This is a
Worst case.
shotgun wedding where the bride is watching, the first bride is watching the husband get married to the second bride at the
This
shotgun
is
wedding.
sister wives. This is sister
Yeah.
wives. It's a shotgun sister wives wedding, and that's what's happening in Atlanta. And I have not watched Sister Wives in a while. However,
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that based on what I see in TikTok clips, it's not good. It's ended poorly for everyone.
Sure.
And this is just, it is creates such an awkward situation. I mean, the Bears were so worried about the awkward situation that would happen if they drafted Caleb Williams while Justin Fields was still on the roster, knowing that he was going to be traded or at least not be the starter, that they gave him away to the Steelers. And now the
Yes.
Falcons are like, you know what? We would love as much drama as possible. Please put us on Hard Knocks. We would like to be a reality show. We are giving you all the storylines. Come on in. Like, that's what I'm seeing there. I don't believe our Hard Knock eligible because they have a first year head coach, which is so unfortunate for all of us. But
Yes.
it truly is a wild thought.
It is. And now, if you're Kirk, not only did you not get the help for your defense, or they could have got out and got a playmaker, they could have got out and got another offensive lineman. I don't think they need that necessarily, but they certainly could have got someone who is going to help the 2024 Falcons more than Michael Penix. Now, if Kirk Cousins struggles at all, and this is a guy coming back from a torn Achilles, even at his best, he's not the most consistent quarterback. He will have some very famous stinkers, sometimes usually in front of nationally televised games. The fans are going to want the top 10 quarterback to come into the game and take over for Kirk Cousins when he still has tens of millions of dollars in guaranteed money left on his deal. So just a situation where it feels like the Falcons just at some point they fell in love. And once they fell in love, I imagine if they could tell other people, if they could tell their friends would tell them, no, this is a bad idea. At the very least, try and trade down, I guess. But maybe they figured, okay, we know there's two other quarterbacks going after us in the top 12, so we can trade down. This is our only shot to get Michael Penix. But it just. Such a weird, awkward situation. And there's a way it works, but it's just so, even in the best case scenario, right? Like in the best case scenario, Kirk plays really well the next 2 years. They don't need Michael Penix. And then he takes over. Even that seems like it's not a great scenario because then you have an overage quarterback, and entering into his third season 1 year before you're going to have to decide on this fifth year option. I mean, so strange.
The interesting thing is too, I just talked with Sam Hartman before the draft about, he's an older quarterback, and I talked with him and I talked with scouts and people in the league. Is there a concern that these quarterbacks are getting into the league older as rookies? There's only a certain shelf life for quarterbacks, and I had several scouts tell me, we're less concerned with the longevity of the position because of how well these guys take care of their bodies. Now, there's not maybe the hard cap that there has been previously, because you have guys that are, in their late 30s, what Aaron Rodgers is 40, close to it, that you can play longer. But when you have a guy like Penix Jr. who has the injury history, that to me kind of invalidates the, well, they take good care of their bodies thing. It's not that he didn't take good care of his body. He just had really bad injury
Right.
luck. But it still, I think, invalidates that argument. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the best news that I can say for Kirk Cousins is that, hey, you got $100 million guaranteed. So, worst case scenario is that you're Russell Wilsoning somewhere here in a year or two, but you're still getting paid. You just may not have the job that you thought you were walking into and going to have for at least a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's really weird. And again, like the maybe they could get out of it. The cap hit. I feel like the days of like saying they can't do this because of the dead cap is that it's passes because teams are so aggressive in getting rid of guys now. But I mean, 65 million in dead money next year if the Falcons want to get rid of Kirk Cousins. And that would have mean they would have paid him 62.5 million for 1 year, which I mean, nice work if you can get it, but
That is worse than Russell Wilson in Denver. That is bad. That is so bad.
which is hard to do, to top Russell Wilson in Denver. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a Jet's Pizza location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be. Speaking of Denver, let's get to Bo Nix. We'll touch on JJ McCarthy in a second, but Bo Nix going to the Broncos at 12. And I want to read you, Brooke, a quote from our colleague and friend Adam Schefter about what Sean Payton saw when he wanted Bo Nix.
I'm so scared.
Sean Payton, Adam wrote on Twitter, wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft when he held the 11th overall pick. He was ready to turn in the card, but before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills spot at number 10 and took Mahomes one spot before Payton got him, leaving the Saints to draft Ohio State cornerback Marshon Lattimore. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Mahomes.
Ooh.
Bo Nix was in the majority of mock drafts heading into this is not a first round pick. He was seen as a day two quarterback. He was seen as a developmental quarterback. He's now being compared by a coach who admittedly is a very well regarded offensive coach who has a earned reputation as someone who has done a very good job with veteran quarterbacks, not developing young quarterbacks. He hasn't had any, but with veteran quarterbacks, he's comparing Bo Nix to Patrick freaking Mahomes. I mean, what are we even doing here? Like, he was the sixth quarterback taken in this round. And I know it doesn't mean that he can't be good because obviously, in that famous class in the 80s, Dan Marino wasn't the first quarterback taken. Lamar Jackson wasn't the first quarterback taken in 2018. Like, it's not as if Bo Nix can't succeed, but we're out here comparing the sixth quarterback taken in the top 12 picks to the greatest football player on the planet. Like, we live in such weird times with the draft. And when it comes to Bo Nix, I mean, is that even within the realm of possibility?
No, and I really hope that my mic picked up just my consecutive deep sighs because that's all I can do when I think about Sean Payton comparing Bo Nix to Patrick Mahomes. Because when I put words to those sighs, it's just this is so unfair to Bo Nix. Why? Don't put that on him. Like, man, this is not only are you comparing him to the greatest quarterback on a football field today, maybe ever. We're not there yet, but like that's not like as much of a hyperbole as it could be. But he also plays in the same division. So now every time he walks into that stadium that he's playing Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be brought up. When the Broncos inevitably lose to the Chiefs because that will happen because the Chiefs were just handed Xavier Worthy on a silver platter, and I'm still not, I'm
We're gonna
still
get to
pissed.
that.
I have so many thoughts and I'm saving them. But when that happens, it's going to be, remember when Sean Payton thought that Bo Nix was Patrick Mahomes? Yeah, man, what a joke that was. Like, it's not that I don't think Bo Nix can be a good quarterback, right? I mean, it's almost similar to the way I feel about Michael Penix Jr. I think so much about succeeding as a quarterback in the NFL doesn't have as much to do with talent as it does situation. And what kind of environment and team and structure you are drafted into. Are you being set up to succeed? I think that that's a lot of the reason why Baker Mayfield ultimately didn't succeed in Cleveland. He didn't have the right structure around him because of just how that organization operated at the time. But when I look at this, it's just like, man, you are hurting your quarterback before you even get him in the building by putting this comparison on him. I mean, I'm looking at his stats right now. He was good last year at Oregon. Like there it's he is a good, talented quarterback, but you are just putting him on such a pedestal. I mean, I think of Mason Rudolph when he was drafted by the Steelers in the third round. I believe Kevin Colbert said afterward, like, oh, we had a first round grade on him. That followed him through all of the crazy chaos that happened with Mason Rudolph. It was constantly like, remember when Kevin Colbert said he had a first round grade? Man, that's a joke. Like, it just, come on, that's an unforced error by Sean Payton. It does not build up Bo Nix. It makes his job that much
I agree.
harder.
And doesn't make him any better of a player by saying that. I mean, obviously, you want to build his confidence. There will be times to build his confidence. Maybe not by comparing him to the best quarterback on the planet would be a way to grow his confidence. The Vikings trade for the 23rd pick in the draft a couple of weeks ago with the Texans. They give up a bunch of draft capital to do that. Then they don't really even need that pick. They actually traded that pick again to move up for a edge rusher in Dallas Turner, but they go and get JJ McCarthy at 10. Relatively modest trade with the Jets, move up and get give up a little bit of capital to move up from 11 to 10 and beat the teams behind them to the punch for McCarthy. Obviously, there was talk they'd have to get McCarthy at 4, maybe even try to go up to 3 to get Drake May, or get McCarthy at 3 and have Drake May fall past them at 3. In the end, not that big of a jump to get him. But in terms of what the Vikings had to do in terms of giving up draft capital to get in that second first round pick and then not even use that for a quarterback, does it feel like maybe all the conversation about how many teams want a McCarthy and the battle for McCarthy, does that feel like it never really played out because the Vikings didn't have to move up all that much to get him?
Yeah, I do think that was, I think that there was a lot more smoke than there was actual fire in that case. I never really bought into the JJ McCarthy hype. I don't know who or what was driving all of that, but it did feel like he was the overhyped prospect of this last cycle in terms of like, oh, he could surprise people. What if he's the best quarterback? And like some of that I'm sure is Harbaugh, right? Like he
Yes,
can't
that's
help
what I was going to
himself.
say.
Like that's I don't know why I said I don't know where that came from. I know exactly where that came from. It's the guy that's out in LA right now, especially there's the talk of like, oh, I don't know, what if the Chargers trade Justin Herbert and draft JJ McCarthy? Like, are we all taking crazy pills? No. In what universe? And so, I mean, I do give the Vikings credit. No, they didn't end up needing that insurance first round pick, but the fact that they did only have to move up modestly to get him, that took a lot of patience on their part to let him continue to fall to them to where they only had to move up just a little bit to get him. I think that they had a really good first round, even though they did have to give up draft capital beforehand to get that extra pick that they didn't end up needing. But yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that I just need to wait and see. He gives me, I don't want to say he gives me Kenny Pickett vibes, but like just a little bit. And I don't mean that like in a bad way, just in a, I need to see him in the NFL first. Like I don't want to hear the argument of, well, he has a high floor because as like to me, the high ceiling is so much more important in today's game than having a high floor. And I need to see it on the field before I buy into it. But I do think that he's walking into a good situation. I mean, well, it's definitely not a bad situation when you're throwing to Justin Jefferson. Like things are going to be okay for him. But he's someone that I want to see how that pans out.
And certainly there's a lot of projection happening there, right? Like he was never, or was very rarely, the guy who had to be the focal point of the offense in Michigan. Now he may not have to be that guy in Minnesota. I mean, obviously, plenty of good receivers there. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. Good offensive line, good coach, good coordinator, good play caller with Kevin O'Connell. But at the same time, I think having to trade for that first round pick and then being like, oh, actually, we're good. We don't need that. We'll trade up again. I don't know. This team, they didn't feel like they were two players away. And with one of those players being a quarterback, but we'll see. I mean, JJ McCarthy could be a hit in Minneapolis. But the question I wanted to ask you, the big picture question, again, six quarterbacks go in the top 12. And I've written about it. Lots of people have written about like the financial impact when you hit a quarterback in the first round and how much it saves you, how much you can do elsewhere on your roster. But has this gone too far? Are we over the top when it comes to drafting quarterbacks high, and our teams leaving too many talented prospects on the table to take their shot and shoot their shot for that quarterback?
Yes, I do think I think that we've reached critical mass
Yes.
in terms of quarterback saturation because yeah, when it works, when you get CJ Stroud and then you have all of this extra cap space to build around it, it's great. But when you don't, it just feels like this then leads to quarterbacks becoming more disposable. That you try to hit on them in the first round. And there's also such an impatience with the quarterback position that then I think there becomes this rush to judgment. And if they don't pan out, all right, on to the next one. We got to plug in another quarterback here. It just feels, I mean, to the point about Michael Penix Jr., when did you fall in love with him? It just feels like this panic, like we've got to hoard as many quarterbacks as possible. If we're in the position to grab one, get him now. And if it doesn't work out, we'll ship him off and then we'll draft another one, the next time, the next cycle, or in a couple cycles, whatever it is. And I just think that that's a really haphazard way to build a team. And I think it also, to me, just speaks to, I think a something that quarterbacks are going to have to wrestle with coming out in college. Like, do you stay in college another year, become an older rookie, but knowing that if you go to the right college program, you're going to get more of an opportunity to develop and, get some pro skill sets if you're in a pro system that you can, become a better prospect coming out than when you get drafted. I mean, Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are both older guys because they stayed in college longer. So do you stay longer knowing that like you're going to be rushed on the field whenever you do get to the NFL and you're the leash is not going to be very long because of this impatience. So I don't know. I think that when all of these offensive players are coming off the board and all of these quarterbacks are coming off the board, I just kept thinking, gosh, I feel like this should soon lead to a premium on defensive players because all of these teams are trying to build offensive powerhouses that if you just, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too simple-mindedly, but
I don't think
if
so.
you zag while everyone else is zigging and you create a team that, in some ways like Minnesota, where you have a quarterback that doesn't have to shoulder the bulk of the offensive load and you make a really strong defense, can that go farther than a team that is so quarterback focused? I'm interested to see how this affects how teams are built going forward.
Yeah, and obviously, if you already have a quarterback, this was a great day because you did not have to, you benefited from all those teams in front of you drafting a quarterback. One of those teams, in fact, being the Pittsburgh Steelers, who you cover, who took Troy Fautanu at 20 out of Washington. Surprise that they took an offensive lineman? Does it make sense to you? Where do you think he ends up for the Steelers?
So I'm not surprised they went offensive lineman. That makes a ton of sense. I am surprised the position on the line that they decided to address in offensive tackle. And Mike Tomlin was very clear tonight. They see him as a legitimate tackle, which is interesting because when he was drafted, Mel Kiper Jr. said this guy could be Pro Bowl all pro guard, but Mike Tomlin's pretty much like, no, we don't think that he's, we don't want to see him on the interior. He was asked specifically if he sees him as center capable, and that's when he said that they see him as a legitimate tackle. So I think that this suggests to me that they see him moving Dan Moore Jr. out of the starting lineup, a guy that's started, I think, 49 games since he was drafted as a rookie in 2021, but has been just a very average left tackle. I think they end up moving Faotanu to left, bumping out Dan Moore Jr., and then Broderick Jones stays on the right, where he started, I believe, 10, 11 games last season. It's not a sexy pick, but it's a very Steelers pick, and that's more of the zagging while everyone else is zigging kind of thing. The Steelers are building out through the trenches. They addressed the quarterback position in free agency with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but they've kind of been clear all along, like, not that they want to completely, take the quarterback out of the game, but it's really going to be about the ground game and a strong defense and winning that way, but letting the offense run through the ground, run through having a solid offensive line, getting the ball to Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. And so picking Fautanu makes a ton of sense. But I did think that there was a strong possibility that they went with Graham Barton or just anybody that's a center because they do not have one. Like I kind of want to just shake them for a second and be like, you know that Nate Herbig's not your day one starting center, right? Like I'm all here for position flexibility. That's too flexible. You need to be a little bit more rigid. That is a bad idea. So that's got to be their top priority going into day two.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think that's a position they try to address later in the draft?
I think so. I mean, Barton's off the board now. I believe he went to the Bucks. Maybe they end up landing Jackson Powers Johnson, who I mocked to the Steelers in the first round, partially because I thought it was a good fit in a position of need, partially because it allowed me to Amazon Prime a 5 foot inflatable duck and 60 mini rubber ducks. And you just simply can't pass up that opportunity. So I do think that the
Where were you, Brooke, when you were doing this, by the way?
I was at a bachelorette party in Fort Lauderdale. And sometimes you have to work with the surroundings you have. And when you are given a bachelorette pad with a pool in the backyard, you make good use of that. So they could get him. They could also get Zach Frazier from West Virginia. The Steelers love local prospects. They did visit with him. He came into the Steelers on a top 30. So I think they have options, but I think that, man, they have got to address that in the second or third round. And I think they need a guy that is a pure center and not someone that they try to convert to center the way that they did with Kendrick Green a couple years ago that just went so terribly bad sideways. Like, just don't overthink this.
Yeah, definitely something you would think they will focus on in day two, hopefully day two. If not day two, then day three of the draft. Okay, we have to talk about the receivers. And again, the top of the draft, fine, makes sense. Marvin Harrison going to the Cardinals. I don't think anyone's surprised. Everyone's talked about that for months. Romo Odunze going to the Bears, great. No surprise there. Brock Bowers going to the Raiders, a little surprising, but I know you want to focus on what I want to focus on. And that is what happened at the end of the first round, where you have the Bills trading down not once, but twice. Something I'm not surprised they did. I thought they might do this, talked about it on NFL Live a couple weeks ago about what they might do in terms of adding a wide receiver or targeting wide receivers. But they trade down twice. And in that time, three teams take wide receivers, including two of the three teams they made trades with. And one of those two teams, Brooke, is the Kansas City Chiefs. What did the Kansas City Chiefs do?
They drafted Tyreek Hill 2.0. They said, really? For us, you shouldn't have. And the Bills gave them the pick that they then drafted Xavier Worthy, who had the fastest 40 time. I mean, and as I saw someone tweet, this wasn't a guy that was a track star that they taught how to catch the ball. This is a guy that is a pure wide receiver and is also insanely blazing fast. And you know who they have playing quarterback? is a guy that can throw the football over a mountain. They have a real Uncle Rico at quarterback. And they said, you know what? This team won the Super Bowl without having anyone to throw to other than Travis Kelce. We want to make it just that much easier. So here you go. Like, I have to imagine that Brett Veach thought he was being punked when he got the call. Like, he thought that someone had spoofed Brandon Bean's number to offer that to him. Like, I was shocked. I mean, it just felt like I'm speechless, clearly, because the Bills didn't even get that much in return for trading that. Like, you did Brandon Bean just like forget that the Chiefs also needed a wide receiver? I mean, I think that Brandon Bean has been really good at building his teams, but like, man, Josh Allen needs help. You do remember that you did trade away Stephon Diggs, and the Bills weren't winning the Super Bowl even when they had people for Josh Allen to throw the ball to. And I don't know how they're going to win without anyone to throw the ball to. So they I'm speechless.
The Chiefs traded away their best wide receiver, didn't really replace him, and won two Super Bowls. Maybe the Bills are just like, we're going to do what the Chiefs did. Trade, make a trade where it looks like we have nobody at wide receiver. Not really fix it, like make some sort of quasi additions in day two, and maybe we'll trade for like a weird player who's not that good, but maybe he'll be good in the Super Bowl. And maybe that's the solution. Maybe that's the new meta the Chiefs unlocked.
But the Chiefs won a Super Bowl when they had
That's
the
true.
best
That
receiver. The
that's
Bills didn't
a
even
fair
get
point.
that far. So
Fair
I,
point.
it would be one thing too if the Chiefs were an NFC team that like the Bills would
Yes,
only have
fair,
to
very
worry
fair.
about in the Super Bowl. But the Bills said, hey, this would be like if UNC and Duke in basketball, it would be like if UNC said, hey, Duke, do you want to take RJ Davis? Like, no, you can have him. Like, we know that we're going to play you twice a year and then in the ACC tournament, and we have to beat you to win what we want to win. But, like, do you want our best player? Like, that's what it feels like. And it's just, I'm speechless.
Okay. I think I can salvage this one. I can't salvage the Michael Penix pick, but I can potentially salvage this one for you.
Okay.
What if? And by the way, the other team that took a wide receiver besides the Bills and the Panthers, the Chiefs and the Panthers, who the Bills made a trade with, the other team who took a wide receiver in the first round was the San Francisco 49ers, which is very curious given that the one thing they seem to not need is more playmakers on offense. And there have been reports all day from multiple people that the Niners have been on the phones discussing possible trades for Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. What if Brandon Bean takes some of the draft capital he's amassed by making these trades and trades for Brandon Ayuk or trades for Debo Samuel? Would that, in your eyes, get him off of your S list and get him back in your good graces as a solid NFL general manager?
Yes. And as soon as you said 49ers, I got my wits about me. They left over the last half an hour. They evacuated the premises because I did have a fleeting thought when that trade happened and when those wide receivers came off the board. Like, well, that'd be really great if the Bills were now able to get Brandon Ayuk or Courtland Sutton. Could be perhaps someone that the Broncos might be looking to move. If they can trade for one of those guys, then Brandon Bean, I owe you an apology. I am so sorry. Keep on keeping on. But like, you're right. I hope that this is part of a bigger plan. Or I hope that they have a very high grade on Keon Coleman or Ladd McConkey, who I still can't believe is a real named person, or Adonai Mitchell. Like, I hope that one of those guys, you know, becomes their play that they have a really good feeling about one of those guys for
I have,
tomorrow.
Brooke, I have some bad news for you.
Oh no.
Our friend and colleague Elena Getzenberg is recapping Brandon Bean's press conference.
I
This is
hate
the quote from
this.
Brandon Bean. You're not going to like this.
Oh no.
Brandon Bean said that there wasn't hesitancy in trading with the Chiefs because someone else would have traded with them anyway. He
What?
also said it didn't matter to them who the Chiefs were picking at number 28. What?
Just what?
Bro, it should matter to you.
Sonny Weaver is rolling over in his grave right now.
I
I don't even know if he's dead in his fictional world, but Sonny Weaver would not stand for that.
What are, I mean, like, if you don't have a grade, and he also said he did not have any more error. He did not want to give up a second round pick to move up for one of the wide receivers. Because they don't have a third round pick. It seems there's some very curious logic in that, right? Like the idea that someone else, the Chiefs would have traded up with somebody else. Like, okay, let them pay more then. And you're still in a position to take a wide receiver before
Right.
having two more come off the board.
You wouldn't have helped your rival win.
That I guess that's the other part of it, right? Is like if someone else wants to help the Chiefs, that's a bummer, but let them do it. Let the Bengals do it. Let the Cardinals do it. Let the Packers, Buccaneers do it. You might feel a little better about yourself if you're not doing it yourself.
You can look yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning or later tonight or whatever it is that you face a mirror in the
Yes.
next 24 hours.
Is it possible that the Bills have just gotten rid of all mirrors as part of this, as part of their post-draft process? That could be one way to solve this issue.
The Bills have traded away Stephon Diggs and also all of their mirrors
They threw
and
it
their
in.
draft picks.
They
They
threw it
sent those
in.
to Kansas City too.
That's so thoughtful. Okay, it is almost is well ex exactly 1 a.m. as we finish up here on the East Coast. Brooke, thank you so much for coming on late and talking about the draft. Where can people check out more of the work you're doing covering the NFL?
Oh, it is on ESPN.com under the NFL tab. You can go over to Steelers and see all of my very measured takes about the Steelers drafting an offensive tackle, which I do think was a great move. And if you go to Twitter at BE Pryor, you will see all of my unhinged takes on what the rest of the NFL is doing. It's a really fun time.
Yes, a lot of fun stuff happening, a lot of weird stuff happening, a few not weird things happening, but definitely some curious stuff. But Brooke, thanks so much for coming on. And we will have more audio on Monday recapping the entire draft back on the Bill Barnwell Show. So hope you'd enjoyed this late night recap and a fuller recap of the entire draft coming next week.